Hello.
Hi, Stephen Ternik.
Hello, Otto.
Stephen, we are doing a series of recordings on the idea of geonomics.
Yes.
And we've already started to talk about it, so we already know that geonomics originated with the work of Henry George.
Yes.
It was based on a book which was a bestseller at his time.
Yes.
And it was intended to resolve some of the problems of his time, which in the previous recording session
yes.
we saw, in fact, still persist in the present
yes.
for a greater part. And I asked you if in this session we could focus on, let's call it the idyllical or the paradisical view on things. What would things look like if this idea of geonomic would be applied on the planet?
Yes.
How would people relate to each other? How would cultures benefit from that? How would we be more healthy and happy as a result?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me try. Let me try it this way. You have received maybe the text for this round table in Philadelphia, and there's also a flyer. Maybe you have received it.
Tell them more about that.
About the flyer is more about my person, and it contains an abstract. And after I immediately come back to the flyer, and it contains an abstract. The text, so I call it the eco-energetic point of view. The text compiles the possible steps. But of course, it refers to the historical movements, not but the historical events.
Mm-hmm.
And I start here in the text, so I don't want to make it boring, but a little bit I have to tell about the text. There are no passengers on the spaceship Earth. We are all crew. It starts with something like a citation. And spaceship Earth as a metaphor is being used by Henry George. Actually, the first time.
Mm-hmm.
There was never somebody who used the metaphor of spaceship Earth, and he used it in page 137. So that's a general page numbering. And he goes into, if he in his book Progress and Poverty, goes into the cyclical return of economic depressions. I went into that more. Okay, I said, okay, we had it yesterday that many economists thought, okay, now this guy is attacking us. Everybody wants to become an economist. As you wrote very good, now a physician is a physician, an economist is an economist, it's a profession. That doesn't mean if average people now try to get interested into health or into economics that they become economists by that. But they are more interested in it, they start being active. So it's they're not, Henry Jones doesn't say we should all become economists, but he has some very simple remedies. And the whole book started, and that's interesting. Afterwards, I came back to the abstract of the flyer. The whole book starts with this panic of 1873. And if you look back to the times, you see it was the first international crisis, the first real international crisis of the political economic order. So you, of course, you heard for before you had also crisis, but this was actually the first international crisis. You had the same panic patterns all around the world, and it started in Vienna and Budapest. So very interesting to note that it started in the Austrian Empire at that time, Austro-Hungarian Empire, and spread it all over the world. And then I continue to write about different measures that have been taken by banks, and afterwards, of course, central banks, like the Federal Reserve Act that followed in the US, the child of all panics. I call it the child of all panics. So you have accompanied with this trends. For example, at the same time, you have a tripling of population. So in the US, you had only 30 million people, and afterwards, you had 90 million. So in a very short time, about 50 years, from 1850 to 1900, you had from 30 million to 90 million people. So it's a lot of stress being put on the economic system. And you had, of course, not only the crisis of 1873, you had the following crisis, 1893, you had the crisis of 1907. So now I went further into that about policy making, and I tried now in this text to demystify the quasi theological role or omnipotent role of money that is being put is being put emphasis that maybe money can remedy the things, and I think it's not this way. We have to concentrate on the natural resources, and we can see that an economic system is characterized by systemic energy transduction. So, okay, you are right when you wrote this yesterday, and in another note, you're right to point to the fact that this is an information flow. So, of course, people decide to how they use energy. But if you now make a description of the thing, and you go now to my mind mapping Golconka, then you can see the cycle of the monopoly. So you see the energy has been extracted, you have the first monopoly, land resources, you have a second monopoly, and the taxation, mainly taxing labor, and you have the third monopoly of the banks. So the cycle is shown in some cybernetic way. And, but what we what is different to the times of Henry George is that it's, and at the same happened of course to Marxism, if you like, as an observation, that we had the gold standard at that times. So Marx was also thinking in gold, in the terms of a gold standard. And as we see advent of the paper money and the fiat money and all the theories combined with that, we have a different type of monetary system. So that's very different to the gold standard. So this does mean that also natural resources and human resources are exploited, if you like, differently than before. You have more than 24 hours. With fiat money and paper money, it's like the First World War. The First World War would have last 2 weeks. So the governments went into paper money, they abolished the gold standard, and this is the reason why the war could continue for four years. And as you know, it brought a lot of stress to all parties for repayment and, of course, and for receiving the repayment. So we have a different system today. In our system, in our economic system, money and energy are interchangeable. That's a big problem. So no thing like money equals something like energy. So that's the fundamental difference to 100 years, 120 years, 130 years before. Fundamental difference. I go now, afterwards, in the text, I go to the physical finity of our resources on this planet and to the mathematical infinity of money. So these things are computed equal. Indeed, they are not. Physical resources are limited, and mathematical accounting can be infinite. In you can try to on paper, you can do a lot of things. And in the text, I also go to the Snooks Panoff algorithm. There's an Australian researcher, Snooks, and a Russian researcher, Panoff. And at the same time, they discovered, it's not so long ago, it's only 10 years ago, they discovered a special developmental imperative in human history, and it's about energy leap. So an innovation takes place if an energy leap happens. If the energy leap happens, innovation takes place. So it's very important. The Snooks-Panoff algorithm is very interesting to study. So we have what we can see, a eco-energetic circuit. And the eco-energetic circuit reads energy quantifies time, time quantifies production, and money quantifies energy. And this is how the quantum space, the economic quantum space, works. In this system today, we have an exponential need for energy. And the exponential need for energy causes a temporal acceleration of economic production cycles, circles, waves, maybe spiral too. So what we have is this monetary system is hungry for energy, because the monetary side is on a fiat basis, and the other side, the energy basis, is not a fiat basis. It's actually really there. It's in nature. So we have our monetary system is contrary to the natural laws. Law not in term of legal terms, but law according to physical science. And now I come and I have summarized all of the guys who were writing on George's thinking and geonomic system thinking, and I found three possible remedies, three possible stages. We have to separate money, this means central banking, from credit, commercial banking. That's a basic step, the first little step is we have to separate money, the central banking function, from credit, the commercial banking function. So my proposal here is not only a reform, you don't have to change too much. Actually, you only change the legal framework. So you don't need a terrible great surgery for it. It's a non-invasive surgery. It's not a big thing. Or you don't have to give drugs, too many drugs to do it. So the surgery won't be very great, as we don't have to take big drugs too. So it's very easy. And the first step then, if it's have been, the basic idea is the separation of money and credit from credit. And now we have on A, we have a removal of natural resources, land, actually, as a collateral for bank loans and land value. So what we have actually is that banking is based on natural resources, on land value. This we should turn into public revenue. So what we know as a public infrastructure, as a state, to keep law and order, some social policy, some medical policies, we will get the public revenue exactly from that fact that banks are no more able to operate natural resources as a collateral. B, we need to decrease the taxation of labor. So human resources will operate more freely, but will increase at the same time the taxation of capital gains interest. So we'll put a brake on that too. They will earn their money with their capital gains and their interest, but there will be taxed on that. So labor will be more free to operate, get more returns in terms of wages, and interest will be taxed as a return on capital. If all these things shall work, you need some banking regulation. And I would call it narrow banking. And there are many roads. You can have the 100% money from the Chicago plan. That does mean that you have €1, $1, and you can give only out the dollar that already is in your reserves. Because at the moment, people can give credit without having any backings, no coverage. They can give out the euro without having it. They can create money out of thin air. It won't be possible. I can also imagine narrow banking not on a 100% basis. It could also be like Hyman Minsky wrote. So if there is a boom, the banks save more, and if the bust, they have to use up their resources. So it's maybe only 80%, or so it would be a little bit more interesting maybe for speculators and investors. So the 100% money system could be a little bit too boring for those people who like to speculate, or all those people who like to invest. So I wouldn't say it's narrow banking must not be on 100% basis, but it must be very narrow, on a Pareto optimum of 80% is also possible. So this is, and this interplay that is being now built up, this interplay of natural resources, economic value and money, this lies behind all the monopolies. It lies behind the monopoly of credit, all the monopoly of land and of taxes. And of course the privileges, the inherited wealth, the unearned income, that is, of course, look at Arab countries, you have on one side you have a religion of equality, on the other hand you have even kingdoms, and kingdoms, for example, are not even allowed by the Quran. It's not permitted by the Quran. So you have, and so that does mean that you see economic reality is very different from the ideology that is a cultural ideology that has been accompanied the same as the Christian countries or in Israel or anywhere else on this globe. And Henry George could, and at these times when he was writing, he could not foresee that the economic system's evolution will go into this the way I mentioned before, that you can extract physical value for no thing. This is a very new thing in comparison to 150 years before. And there's another problem with the profession of economics. It is, since 5,000 years, concentrated on private wealth management, on asset maximization via money, via interest, via credit. So there is a vacuum concerning the public body economic. And so we have our microeconomics, which is in first in practice management models. We have macroeconomics, which is actually policy making, but we have no meta-proved cybernetics or no meta-proved knowledge on that. So, as you always say, Otto, this is science in the making, but this science in the making is necessary for survivalist rationality and morality. This science in the making will develop economic accounting method and models to better models, optimal models of resource allocation and distribution, with or without monetary agency. This is very important. Maybe we have this now, this phases of new monetary technology, what is called NFC, near field communication. We have these very fast payments and all these things, but we can also imagine a monetary-free economy, a money-free economy, a credit-free economy, and an interest-free economy is possible to realize. So it's not too far, but it won't take 10 years, so this would take a longer time, take 35 years or even more, as at least one generation of economic knowledge. Yeah, and then we can see the text also goes into the Kondratiev, Schumpeter, Rosenberg, these people have analyzed the long wave movements. The text goes into the Central European thinkers of land reform, like Pickler, Gyula Pickler in Hungary, Alfons Damaschke in Germany, and it goes into Moses 3, the third book of Moses, chapter 25, where Moses, I don't say Moses as person, but that writings that are are being edited in the name of Moses, they have a special ethical framework of human economics, humanistic economics. I would call it humanistic economics. Humanistic economics is very well described in chapter 25 of Moses 3. And all these things, not only kosher, but all the restrictions and to move with the natural cycles and all these things, is about putting a brake not only on competition but on exploitation. So the Bible has some advice here, but of course it's from a different time. That was I don't know when the editing of Moses 3, chapter 25 was around 500 before the Common Era or Ezra. So at that time you had the silver currency from the Greek silver currency at that time. So of course we cannot apply that in rigid terms. We have only to put our we can learn from it. We can take the inspiration from it. And scientific observations of the Georges area, 1850-1900, those area of human economic history that are associated with the third Kondratiev industrial wave of railway and steel. That's important to know. And then we come not only to the unsustainable debt levels that are accompanied by innovations, because we can see if we study the waves of innovation, historically waves of innovation, we see always these unsustainable debt levels. And these unsustainable debt levels are always caused by privately capitalized land value, rent of natural resources, and unfair taxation techniques. It's always the same. It repeats itself like Sisyphus. And the banking practices, even today, support private rent-seeking over public economic health. That's for sure. And of course, they discourage entrepreneurial spirit of the individual and of groups. They discourage it. Monetary policy today does not make a distinction or behavioral distinction between private rent-seeking and public wealth creation. Very important. So as our empirical relationship here between the real estate value and economic wealth creation. And some people get it all. So the thing moves, evolves very fine, innovations take place, and some people grab it all. And we had that now, if you look back to 750, and we look at five great cycles, we had the same problem. And then we have to rewrite, of course, formula. If you look into the classical mechanics of economics, you see the classical formula of production is equal to rent plus wages plus interest. Now that's wrong. If you look at that from the geonomic side, you have production minus rent equals wages plus interest. So you have P minus R equals W plus I. That's a very different perspective on human production. Whereas the classical formula says P is equal to R plus W plus I.
Stephen, this is very important. Can you please repeat that? Lift it out again.
Generally, we read. If you get a book and you generally will read the classical formula, P is equal to R plus W plus I. So production is equal to wages plus interest. So if production equals rent plus wages, plus interest.
Yes, that's what is done nowadays.
Geonomic formula says production is, you have a P minus R, so production is minus rent, and that equals wages plus interest. Very easy thing. So production minus rent equals wages plus interest. of the same. You have the same letters. You have a P. You have an R. You have a W and an R. I. But the equation is not the same.
Yes, in the equation, actually, when you put the R from the one side of the equality sign to the other, it would change from plus R to minus R. But what you're stressing now, that it is a different interpretation on the rent.
Yes.
It is not a rent given on a sum lent out, but it is the rent as the expense on the production coverage.
Yes. So it does mean that the rent eats it up. The rent eats up the production, and the only remain wages and interest. But taxation is not in the formula, so just get taxation into that, and you see, you have wages and interest even more. You have even more less wages and interest. So this is just a plain formula of the first income, so the first income stage.
Yeah. Stephen, it would be very helpful if you could add a bit more into that, because for many people, seeing the R go from one side of the equation to the other does not immediately help them understand that there is actually a reframing of the perspective of the rent, that there are different people who are receiving that rent, that there is a shift of the cadre of, say, the taxation. That it is no longer a skimming of the cream of the production, which in medical lore would be the profiteering of disease, but that actually in medicine you can say that very clearly, it is the investment in health. So the amount is the same, and the symbol for it in this equation, it would be the symbol R, would be the same. But the people who are getting the money and the purpose for which the money is given is very different. And I would appreciate if you could lift that out a bit more in how different this really is.
Yeah, this formula, or only this, if you like, paradigm, is before taxation. So the classical textbook will tell you production is something like an outcome, an addition of rent plus wages plus interest. So the whole social production, so only now production, is a product of rent plus wages plus interest. But that's not right. So, because rent is being privatized, and so this is the reason why the P production, so this is a minus. So we'll put it in a minus. So the rent is already taken. The production is not producing rent as a common income. As a common income, only wages and interest remain. Afterwards, only wages remain after taxation. Some wages remain, and interest is again privatized. So this only goes to show that the classical textbook is giving us an erroneous way of thinking. And if we know now that, okay, now the rent has been privatized, so this is already out of, it's not a product, it's not an outcome of the social productions, it's already been privatized. Some wages remain, these are being also taxed, and the interest again is being privatized. So it's very little remains for the working people.
Stephen, I would like to put a parallel on this, which is found in the formulation of the difference between a corporation and a cooperation. A corporation is a legal entity which was based on the model of the slave plantation, and the only legal purpose of the corporation is to make money, doesn't matter how. And that money goes to the shareholders, which are external parties of interest. While in a cooperation, the money that comes out of that goes back into the production process and in the people who create it. So it is the difference between a parasitical process
Yes.
And a symbiotic process.
Definitely, definitely. And for this, you have to understand the monetary system. You have to understand the monetary system, that money and energy in this system have become interchangeable.
Please elaborate that, because this is so very fundamentally important, and a lot of people have never had the time to look at these backgrounds of the monetary system. They just know money is something that you need to pay taxes, but they do not know who makes money and who profits off the money. So please put that picture in place so that others can follow what you're saying.
Okay, after that, we can go totally into monetary history now, but...
Let's leave that aside, but let's see how that works in geonomics in a different perspective.
Yes, in German geonomics system, we will of course also have money. Maybe not always, but the first stage of a geonomic system would work with money. But what we won't have is we'll have money that will be issued by public authority. And banks so cannot issue money that does not exist by any coverage. Today, banks can create money without any coverage. That's the main difference. And what we have today, what is called the state crisis, you said, okay, we should avoid it. Exactly our these times show us that, you know, now the states have to borrow money from private banks. It's just the opposite. Mm-hmm. Normally, it should be that way, that the money is created by public authority, and smart private bankers now go on and to sort out good investment projects, and they take a risk and give money to people who are able to do a new business, to make entrepreneurship. But we don't have that today. We have today the opposite. The states have to borrow money from private banks, and what we pay on taxes goes as interest to private banks. So it's a very different system. As this changed about 100 years, okay, you had the Prussian Preußische Reichsbank, afterwards you had the Deutsche Reichsbank, this model was introduced by the Warburg brothers to America as the Federal Reserve thing, the panic, the child of all panics, but it evolved and evolved more. So this private banking sector, commercial banking sector became the dominant sector, and creates money out of nothing, has no coverage, but you pay for something that does not exist, you pay even interest for that. So this is the main difference today. So money is not existent by coverage. It does not cover any physical, real physical asset. The banks can issue money out of thin air. That's the main difference. And now, there is no coverage. There is no physical coverage. And now you can buy with this money, you have access to natural resources, to energy. So it's quite the difference from a natural economic order, I would say, a natural economic order, and what we have today is a monetary economic order. So the monetary economic order is absolutely disconnected from the natural resources. That's the main difference. So it's absolutely artificial, and this causes rent seeking, and of course capturing interest. So both things are being, of course, encouraged by that, and it's not sustainable. The main problem is that it's not sustainable.
Yeah, Stephen, perhaps this is a good place to return to the benefits of geonomics. For the people who are listening to this, who would like to see what the problem is, there is an excellent book written by Eustace Mullins, which is called The Secrets of the Federal Reserve. And it details this shift from public interest to private interest, from sharing to profiteering, from taxation for the private purse and instead of taxation for the benefit of everybody.
Yeah.
And we came into this sidestep because I asked you to make more clear what the difference is in that R in the equation of the rent. And yes, essentially it is the difference between taxation working for everybody to cover their common needs out of their common production, which is totally different from taxation, which basically turns the population into a milk cow from which others then become rich.
I see.
But this is probably a good point to come back to this principle of geonomics.
Uh-huh.
And how geonomics work differently, because in what you have just described now, this is actually also a returning of the American system back to the system as it is detailed in the Constitution. Congress creates money, and that there is no outside banker which is involved in that, and that's basically a system which every country needs, even a country like Switzerland, where people are technically sovereign, but they do not own their own money. So it is very necessary to go back to this own money production. And it would be very helpful if you put that in the picture and the perspective of geonomics, because in that approach it has already been elaborated so that people can foresee how it would be if they have their own money.
One thing I want to mention, as you mentioned also publication, I want to mention one publication of importance here. It's a book from Gaffney, G-A-F-F-N-A-Y, Mason Gaffney, G-A-F-F-N-A-Y, Mason Gaffney. It's called After the Crash. It's been published in 2009. After the Crash, and also Mason Gaffney, I think it's a very good book. There are many other good books. I just wanted to mention that one.
Okay, yeah.
It's important. And of course, in this text, I have the monetary history of the United States from Friedman and Schwartz, and the Kondratiev waves. I have, of course, Klitgaard and Hall, Energy and
Diversity.
Yeah,
maybe it's good to have, if you could provide a list so that we can add that to the text.
But, you have, it's in the text. The text, sent that by email. It's, all is in the text.
Okay.
It's a compilation. It's only a compilation. Now, you
let's
say
go back to the story.
The geonomic stages. It is important to know that this is it's not a geonomics. I say, of course, it is also about politics, but it is actually about living every day a normal life. So the main difference is here that the system will the big system will receive a transformation. So things that can be done down under here, bottom up. So it means that things will go into small scale decisions, and people, as I said, the first stage will be with money. It's not conceivable now that money will immediately be substituted. Then we have will reduce interest. Credit will be only for productive reasons. So we'll get it. We'll get it within 10 years. We'll have we can put a brake on these big speculations and exploitations. But it will take some time. So we won't do it in one day. But a reform is not about speed. It's about the right direction.
It's funny when you formulate it like this. This is so much the same as the bottom-up recovery after a disease in the body, where the cells retake their activities, where the organs then can recharge themselves, and as a result of which the body can then start to function again.
Yes, and I had here in this flyer contains, of course, also to other thinkers that are very interesting. Who have been writing about survivalist morality and about optimal resource allocation in economics. But what I want to say here is very important to understand that it is an economic circuit, that that economy is a circuit, is an energy circuit. As you said, it's right, it's an information flow, it's about values, of course. So we can, of course, reform it by this value thinking. And but today we have the thing that money, although it knows no physical limit, has access to energy, to natural resources. So, and the amount of energy is physically limited. So now we, what we do, what we will do is, we now the mathematics of money will adjust to the energetics of our natural resources. That will be the first step.
Can I ask a question on this? Because
yes.
Money is essentially an agreement of for communication and reliability interactions between people. And one of the problems which many countries have is that when people want to do more, the banks don't give the money which is required for that. While when Congress or when the community creates its own money, there will be as much money as people are reliably interacting with each other. And so when money is connected not to the resources of the earth, but to the resourcefulness of the people, then money will always cover what is going on. The only requirement which you have at that level is that there must be reliability, that people will actually do what they say that they do, and that when they produce things, that they do account for things going wrong. But then the measure for money is actually in the precise place where money is used, which is in the interaction between people.
The difference today is UK, the definition of money is manifold, but it can be this or that. But the most important is that today in our system, in our economic system, money has become access to everything. That's the main importance. So it covers all needs. So it's this is the main historical change. So the main historical change is all human needs, almost all human needs are reduced to the need for money. You go traveling. When a Hungarian poet Petőfi traveled through the Magyar Kingdom, and it took him maybe from Szeged, look at Szeged, which is at the Serbian border, to the Ukraine, to Vov, to Mukachev, and all these things that's at the northeast, today Ukraine. He did not use money for traveling. Mm-hmm. He just traveled. And some guy he was helping, I don't know, with cutting wood, and I don't know, you know. But if you look into the travel books, but this is only an example, then he needed no money for traveling. And even the passport was introduced. When my relatives migrated to the United States, they don't have passports. They had no passport. Some people had birth certificates with them.
Yeah. So what you're talking about now is the difference again with the money slavery, where money is the measure for all things.
Yes.
While in opposite, it is all about people willing to help each other and able to help each other. And in geonomics, you've already introduced the idea of geonomics because you see that the concept of geonomics provides a series of solutions which we could easily apply. One which you just mentioned is that people produce their own money. Another which you mentioned is taxation goes back to the people and not to others.
Yes, alternative currencies will be allowed, of course.
Can you tell some more about the ways that geonomics would solve the problems? How by painting the picture of how life would be in that setting of geonomics. You said that we have about an hour of time.
Okay.
So we would still have about 15 minutes to put that story.
As also the flyer says, I am very much concentrated on the physics of socioeconomic systems. So about natural sciences, application of the natural science to the social science. So I'm not so much into this. I suffered a lot in universities from reading this, all these interpretations from authors that try to said, like Max Weber said, okay, the capitalism was produced by the Protestant ethics. To some extent, yes. But actually, the difference between Catholics and Protestants was that Protestants read the Bible, and the literacy level were higher. And so the Protestants were better educated. And the masses of Catholic people were not so much educated. And this is the reason why Protestantism had another function on the economy. And the first stage of a geonomic system would work as I line out in the text, in the economic, eco-energetic point of view. So what we have now, this globalistics of natural resources, value, or economic value, money, we can amend first by this plan that I said, that we have A, the removal of the natural resources as collateral for the banks, etc. We had B, and we see the decrease of the labor taxation, banking regulation. So this is the first stage. So it does mean that there would be a public authority that will issue money, but if people locally want to barter or have use alternative currencies, they will be allowed so. So it may be that you move from Basel, of course, to another place, to Warsaw, and then you need more currency, a different type of currency. But if you just live in the Basel area and buy bread, then you won't need that currency. So there will be different levels of payment. And that we don't have today. Today we have one level of payment, and this is being technically optimized by PayPals and MayPals and all these systems. So it's like one push, credit cards, security numbers. So what we have today is you can only move, and afterwards only with iPhones and my phones and all these things. If you and then you buy train tickets, and the whole thing is on one little mobile computer. And behind the mobile computer is a monetary technique that all needs are being covered only by money. And from this tent, we have to get out. We have to apply small is beautiful, as you have got that link here in Skype from the humanistic economics net. There's one link I send you. Humanistic Economics Net, and it's in your box here, and there you have a lot of literature on that too, on small is beautiful, on. So what we will do is we accept that society evolved, we accept that bigger systems exist, and we will accept that there are different levels of payment. But what we will not accept is, as I said before, that rent seeking from people are not productive, that we won't accept. What we will not accept is, again, riding on the interests and getting off the whole plus or surplus of a whole society. So it's in stages. And then if public revenue exists, then you won't have such a problems like today, that the state even has to borrow money from private banks. That is absolutely irrational. It's not rational, it's irrational, and it doesn't serve, in the end, it won't serve nobody. It will lead to an implosion of the society. You will have, at first, big, great conflicts. Afterwards, you have war or revolution. So it's always the same. Look at Yugoslavia. What happened in Yugoslavia, you had the same problem. And I think that the main thing is this ABC plan that I have been lining out here, that we go to this, that we don't allow for the private banks or the commercial banks, they can take it as collateral. And then much of energy and knowledge will be freed up. They will have to deal with entrepreneurs, and money will flow into new projects and into ecological projects, into ecological health and all these things. They now say about the sixth Kondratiev, there's a Russian author, he's called Nefyodov. He's writing about the six Kondratiev, and this is about ecology and health and all that. And so we accept that bigger systems exist, but my point is from evolutionary biology, people are a group, and not animals, but group creatures. And this is the main basic level of human existence, and from this you group. And this is also what Christian social ethics teaches, what biblical social ethics teaches, and these are teachings that are time-tested tools, 5,000 years of time-tested tools, and no computerization or any type of physics can alter that. That is a principle, it's in nature, it's implemented in human nature. And what we are doing today is against human nature. And then we can use also the internet, we can use the Skype, we will have markets, not one market, we will have markets on different levels. So it's something that we'll have a local economy that functions. It's totally crazy where I'm living here now. It's outside on the countryside, and you have one big supermarket and no shops, nothing. No, and so it's before there was a normal bakery, and people were provided with things, and you could walk here maybe 200 meters. You had a shop. Today you have to go I don't know how many kilometers just to buy something. And then you have to use an EC card to pay, and all these things. That's the outcome cannot be healthy, and this must be understood. And it's not about that things that I mentioned yesterday. What happened in communism or fascism, that that people will be killed and all their sex, but this implosion won't also be a happy thing. If it will happen, such a big social implosion won't also be nice, especially not in such populated countries like Germany, where we have big towns and millions of people concentrated and on one place. Just go to the center of town in Munich and look at 12 o'clock when all these people come and they try to get some money from the automats, and they're queuing there. So this is nice as long as it works. But if it doesn't work, people start killing others. And this belongs to the non-killing policy, if you like, that we have to humanize economics, humanistic economics. This is a trend. Genomics is about humanistic economics. But it starts with nature. As human beings are also fruits of the earth, so we are fruits of the earth. Not only the earth has fruits, but we are also fruits of the earth. We are descendant from this earth, and we have to treat the resources with respect. And if we treat it with respect, then we also will have an economic system that serves better our needs. And that's a normal thing, that the predatory system of today, and as you said, these carnivorous tendencies, these people, you go somewhere, people eat, I don't know, 5 kilos meat, they go to these supermarkets and they buy 5 kilos meat, that's not normal. You know, and the guy can't walk, and then he goes to a car and starts starts a motor, and is so it's not normal, and it's not according to nature, and this has to be amended some way by steps, like this Gorbachev also tried. This not everything was bad. What Gorbachev was trying, it was too much critics also, and there's this poor man because he also tried to get out from the trap, and if we want to get out from this trap now, then we have to do a little bit what I have been trying to compile in the text, but of course it's not everything. It's only just a first step towards a more healthy economy or humanistic. Mm-hmm. It's not only a first step. And afterwards, of course, we can have even a money-free economy, an interest-free and a credit-free economy, but this will take time.
Yeah. I like the way that you, in a way, have said that it is like the shift from the animal eaters back to the vegetarian diet.
Yes, it's better not too much meat.
In our timeline, you suggested that we keep it to about an hour. We're getting close to that.
Yes.
So I suggest that maybe I will again try to make a a summary of what we have been discussing, and leaving it to you to round it off as we did before.
Yeah.
In the discourse on geonomics, it is now clear that the starting point for all of this is the work of Henry George.
Yes.
In the situation where he lived in the United States more than 100 years ago.
Yes.
It is also clear in your description that what he proposed is essentially a restoration of the financial system according to the American Constitution, where Congress alone allowed to issue money.
Yes.
And if you take that as a general concept, then immediately you get a restoration or a cure for all of the parasitical effects that we see now in economy and in society, and that all of that is returned in a shift back to, say, the ownership by all people, which in an American constitution would be we the people as the concept.
Yes.
But in that cure or in that healing effect, it also would be the simple transition from a corporation back to a cooperation.
Right.
Which means that the money is not taken out of the system but returned back into the system.
Yes.
And I think that it was very crucial that you pointed out that all of this can be represented in the one simple equation of production minus the rent equals the wages plus the interest.
Yes.
And that in that way, the say the parasite is removed from the system.
Yes.
As a result of which natural healing will fall in place. And I like your metaphor on the one hand that it is like the body recovering after a disease.
Yes.
At first the cell reboot, then the organs reboot, and then the body can refine itself. But also, it was funny how at the end you basically said that it also requires the equivalent of changing from the meat eater diet, which of course lives off other people, which is totally parasitical, back to the vegan diet, which is basically living off the fruits of the earth.
Yes, very good. Yes, precisely. But I'm not an ideologist. I don't say no. It's like if you even with alcohol or with any things, you know. I don't say no. You have to become vegetarian or anti-alcoholic. Mm-hmm. I just say, if you are an, if you can think in rational and moral terms, then maybe this predatory economic system really comes from a carnivorous culture. Maybe it stems from that. So it's it must have some.
There is that direct relationship. That's very easy to see. We can go into that at a separate moment because that's the story in itself.
I have studied this with Kabbalistic sources. You mentioned yesterday the Sufis or the Gnosis, this is the same level. And again, I'm not an ideologist. I only try to find practical solutions. So reduce, for example, meat eating. Just eat meat only one time a week. Afterwards, stop it totally. And the main thing is can only work in the social world by gradual stages, so we need some gradualism for that. So we won't do it in one drop. We can't drop it and now all these things are there. That doesn't work. So we'll need some steps. And some things are outlined, and I think that many things are not clear. I understand that for the non-economists, but who is not trained in the social sciences, for them is extremely difficult to understand the interaction that takes place between nature and humans. And this is the difference for the social scientist. The social scientist sees this interaction from nature and humans, or culture, if you like. So this is the main difference. So it's and most people do not recognize this interaction. And if you see banking, okay, it's only put on paper and somebody says, okay, all needs are now reduced to money. You have on an iPhone, you pay the ticket, you pay this, you pay that, you have your WhatsApps and Mops apps on that, and all things are on one thing. But in the end, it's all about
who's
payments.
The owner?
And that's not good, because if the device is not the problem, absolutely not, but how it is being used.
Yes. We've now covered this topic, and at
yes,
the end,
okay,
you nicely.
Enough. We had no three sessions. It's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
At the end, you nicely introduce another topic to explore, which is that of the interaction.
Yes.
And I would very much like if, in the sequel to this story,
uh-huh.
we could look at geonomics in the application, in the interaction. How do people
yes.
use it? What kind of ways are there to do that?
Yes. Take a break, and if we take a break, we communicate about the things, and then we can make something like geonomics in application. What would we practically do? I like.
Okay,
that.
let me then round off this recording for now.
Yes.
And thank you very much for presenting your ideas, because it's really helpful to see that all it changes is a shift of perspective from the outsider to the insider,
yes.
from the dependent to the independent, from the addiction
yes.
to the cured version
yes. Yes. Yes.
Of the individual and society. So I'll end the recording here, then I'll come
yeah.
back to you
okay.
so that we can discuss.
Fine.
Thank you.